is tape number 13 of the Comprehensive Bible Study Course by Cecil DeSille. The title of this tape is The Ministry of the Hand.
Praise God. We feel satisfied now to go this week so that we won't be with you next week Sunday. Hallelujah. We want you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. And we've been having blessings in going on with the study of the principles of life which God has placed in the scriptures. And we want to go on today to continue these beautiful principles which God has given us. First of all, we heard what Jesus is to us. Savior, sanctifier, healer, baptizer, keeper, health, deliverance, joy, hope, everything. In loneliness, Jesus is your companion. In company, Jesus still is one of your friends. And it just goes on and on. And we want to know how is this life reaching to us? By what means God has ordained to bring this life to us? So, we read from Luke chapter 6. And, Mark chapter 6. And the disciples were speaking here in verse 36 down to verse 42. And they said, send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Hallelujah. And as we speak about the trifold application of the Word of God, we are going to look at it in its trifold application and just go right away into the three realms of understanding. This is the natural, the first one. And then we have the spiritual of every word of God and the fullness. And you can look right through as we speak and see the references that are made. Now we're reading about a natural story, a natural people who were in a natural desert place, where there are no shops, nothing to eat, and this is a natural situation. But if this natural situation did not have a spiritual meaning, it would have no place in your Bible. And therefore, the first thing as you see a thing in your Bible, you say, what is the meaning of this? So, send them away. This is the situation in Pasadena today. That right here, there are so many dying of hunger and thirst. As John gave the testimony, it was such a blessing. He met a man. Hallelujah. The man was ready to eat, not only the natural food that he really naturally wanted, but it was that natural food that drove him to the spiritual fountain. It was that natural thirst that drove him to the spiritual fountain. So blessed be God Almighty for the means that make the natural thirst. Hallelujah. Since we are here to supply the spiritual need. And here we are, we came upon a condition. The virgin said, well, send them away. We can't feed them. Is that what you're saying? Is that your condition? Or are you ready to tackle the world from your section here and to feed it? Amen. Are you ready? If you're not ready, something's wrong. You need to be ready to do this thing. Hallelujah. He said here, send them away. The disciples had no revelation. Amen. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Hallelujah. How would you like that one? Jesus turned around to the disciples and said, give them to eat. Feed them. The disciples didn't have anything either. Amen. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Come, brethren, is there somebody here saying to feed this congregation and to feed this people in this wilderness of sin called Los Angeles, to feed them, we would have to have a big auditorium. We would have to have money to go on the radio. We would have to have money to be on the program, the television. You know, I heard one evangelist say that his program was costing him $20,000 a day. Hallelujah. And he said, to do that, it takes faith. Amen. It sure takes some faith, but takes something. I wanted to know that if you don't have faith, you'll do nothing. Because you never start out with money. And never you believe that it is the money why you are able to do it. It is the faith that you have. And I'm asking you to launch out into the deep and to cast your net. Hallelujah. Amen. And the forces that be, God himself, will bring the fish into your net. Hallelujah. You don't need to prepare fish. God has the fish ready. You must have a net. That's what you need. Hallelujah. And it's the net of faith. Hallelujah. Get down on your knees and say, God Almighty, send some of those hungry people you've been telling me about. Jesus said, my sheep are wandering upon the mountains, cold, hungry, coming from the north country. Hallelujah. And he says that he has prepared a people to bring in the sheep. Where are you? Amen. Take up the challenge. I want you to take God at his word. Challenge God to bring the sheep to your door. Challenge him. Tell him, if you ever bring them here, I'm going to get them saved. Hallelujah. You challenge God to bring the sheep to you and to bring you to the sheep. Hallelujah. Here, John, he planned to go down to look at this place. He went and he looked at the place. He didn't plan to go down there to save souls. You don't plan it. The Holy Ghost plans it. The Holy Ghost plans it. Amen. One day I was tearing along, home stretch 500 miles from one meeting to another. I had to hit that meeting by to such a time, and I'm telling you, I didn't even have 5 minutes to stop to eat. Mavis had to be giving me food while I'm at the wheel, tearing down the highway, trying to get to that meeting. And I'm telling you, it was a haul. I was running from Massachusetts to Virginia, to Norfolk. And that's where we were to get that meeting that evening. And God said to me, hey, you know, you mean I have no people between this place in Massachusetts that you're running from to Virginia? I have no people. Why you have to be rushing so to get to those people down there? Wherever you are, God's going to find the people that he has in that area to come to you. If you'll only believe him and only walk in his way. Amen. And so the story goes on. He said unto them, how many loaves have ye got? Have ye? Go and see. They didn't know they had any loaves. He said, go find out how many loaves you have here. Hallelujah. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, prepared of God, some little woman. Your gospel is not without the woman. I don't know, some people try to take the women out of the gospel. But I tell you something, you have no gospel. Some little woman caught her little boy that day, said, "I want to go and see Jesus. I want to go to the meeting." She said, "All right, I'll pack your lunch." So she got 5 loaves. And you don't tell me that the Spirit of God didn't tell her to put 5 loaves. Why didn't she put 4? Amen. Why didn't she put 3? Ah, she could easily make them bigger. She could make 1 big old loaf for the boy. She put 5 loaves. And she put 2 fishes. And she never made a mistake. She was in the divine plan of Almighty God, working in divine order. You don't have to know what you're doing. Amen. God said, "Go down the street." You go down the street. You don't know what you're doing. Amen. And so here we are. We see here the divine plan of God started working from that morning. That woman got that child, got the things together, the divine plan of God, and put it in the boy's heart that he wanted to go see Jesus. The divine plan of God told his mother to fix him a lunch and get rid of him for the day. Hallelujah. And so here we are. He's going to be the greatest blessing in that whole congregation that day. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Now, hear this. He had 12 disciples, and he broke the bread into 12 pieces, and he broke the fishes into 12 little pieces. Amen. But the Bible said he blessed it. Now, when you hear a word like blessed, the word blessed can mean anything. You've got to know what he did to the bread. "Oh, thou bread," he said. Yeah. He said, "Oh, thou bread, multiply and feed this nation." This people. The bread did as Jesus commanded. He said, "Fish, multiply." Fish multiplied. That's the blessing. He blessed it. And bless the Lord God. Amen. He said, and when he had taken a year, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, what are we talking about? Because this is a story in the natural. This is a story in the natural. What's the spiritual meaning of the story in the natural? Let's hold you a little while and let's go back and show you something here. Turn your Bibles backwards to Samuel, 1 Samuel. I think I better tell you what we're doing before I turn to Samuel. The 5 loaves equal 5 the ministry that God has given to the world to feed the world. The 2 fish equal the Spirit and the Word that goes along with the loaves. And to prove that, Before we go into further details, hold on to 1 Samuel there and turn backwards with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we begin at the 11th verse to the 13th. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until everybody comes into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto one perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The gospel is built in your human body, because your body is the temple of the living God. And all the symbolism of the temple is in your body. So if you want to know about Jesus, you start studying a little about your own body. And you'll find out the gospel of Jesus Christ built in living letters inside of you. Now, the five ministries there represent these five loaves. The number five is the number of grace. Hallelujah. Represent these five loaves. And the ministry that God gives is the means by which Jesus Christ is going to come forth in his body until all of us come together to that perfect man, the statue, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now that you know what I'm talking about, I'll go on. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And we begin another natural story from verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag. Why did he have to put them in a shepherd's bag? Five stones. There we see the ministry. But he put them in a shepherd's bag because they were the shepherds. Amen. The place you are in is in a shepherd's place. The ministry God has given to this whole church in this time is a shepherd's ministry, to go and seek lost sheep. Sheep can't come back home. Sheep is one of the few animals that I know that will never come back home. I've heard of a man who lost a dog somewhere way up in Michigan, and the dog found his way back to Florida. It's almost impossible to conceive, but this is possible with a dog. But a sheep goes over the fence and he never turns back. If you don't go for him, that's a lost sheep. It's the nature that is in the sheep that God is talking about. And so you, as God class you as a sheep. Many sheep are on that road outside there. Go in the bars. Go in the dark little corners where they're shooting different kind of drugs into their veins, Some sheep are there. Did you ever think of it? That if you're a shepherd, that you should pray to God, Lord God, give me power today. Find sheep. Amen. That's the spirit of the shepherd. If you don't have that intention, that desire, that spirit, you're not a shepherd. Hallelujah. But the five stones were put in the shepherd bag. And I want you to see that. And this is Brother David now. And you know David mean Christ. You see, many times you see the word David in the scriptures, the meaning of it is Christ. And so we go on. That's verse 40. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Here again, he had a weapon. And this time, the weapon is the one that represents the spirit and the word. Where are we now? Spirit and word. Sling. Because without the motive power, without the power to be transformed, without the power that sends men, your ministry is no good. If you go, you go. If the church send you, if the board, the church board send you rushing down the street, knocking on the doors, trying to find people for Jesus Christ, you are powerless. Your power, you have no power. Unless you are sent out of that sling. Hallelujah. By the chief shepherd. You don't have the power. The dunamis. The trust. Hallelujah. To crack the skull of the devil. As this stone cracked the skull of Goliath. Let's go on. And the Philistines came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. You know what he saw? A sweet little boy. A sweet little kid, never shaved in his life, coming down to fight him. He said, what's going on here? You're in battle and you expect to fight men. You have a big man, Goliath, 9 feet tall, massive, with a big old thing in his hand like a weaver's beam. Big old pear, you know, that could reach the little boy away out there. And here he has his armor, all his big iron all over his face, and only his two eyes peeping out, and he goes down like a war tank coming down towards this boy for fight. And here before him, a man carries a big old shield. You know what's that for? You get to fight in him, and you strike a blow at him, the man with the shield, get right before you, stop the blow, while Goliath gave you the works. This is the thing they've been practicing, that's their method of fighting. Okay, hallelujah. And so here comes a sweet little boy coming down. You know how boys shoot after dogs? Boys take their slingshot and fire after dogs. And so this sweet little boy comes rushing down to Goliath. I believe the boy was skipping along, you know, skipping along like he's going to a picnic. And here you are. This is the picture Goliath saw. What's going on here, you know? And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Hallelujah. Can you see the picture? This is the natural picture we're seeing, because it's the same situation in the spirit. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." If we remember in our daily encounter, in our wrestling with the mammon of unrighteousness, that we are not alone. And when people defy us, and when people curse us, and when people come against us, that they are coming against Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Then we would really have more power. This boy sure knew his business. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass to the host of the host of the Philistines. This day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David wasn't fighting for himself. David didn't count himself. Hallelujah. I can imagine David saying all this. He was just quoting the word of God. He was going down with a weapon of the Spirit and the Word. And he was quoting the word of God, going into battle, not caring for David's little flesh. Hallelujah. It was a divine forgetfulness. He forgot himself. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword nor spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass when the Philistines arose, and Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Now can you see that picture? A little boy. Little boy running down, he was just merely over 12 years of age, running down towards this Philistine, and this big old 9-foot giant rushing down the hill got mad now, you know, because David told him that God's going to get him. And David put his hand in his back, hallelujah, and took thence a stone. Jesus put his hand in his back. Hallelujah. Come on now. Jesus put his hand in his back and took out a minister. One of you guys. And what did he do? He slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Look, man. I've seen people get hard blows, but it's only a bullet that I've ever seen bore through a man's skull. You send a stone, that stone broke the frontal lobe and went into his skull. Instantaneous death. Amen. That stone wasn't sent by David. I think the Spirit just... it was like a ball out of a gun. The Spirit took that stone and threw it at him. But what I want you to notice, that if the stone is the ministry, then it only takes one of you to destroy any enemy that comes up. The devil and all this whole. It does not take all of us. It does not take every ministry. It doesn't take the apostle, the prophet, pastor, the evangelist. You understand what I mean? Any one of you that is in contact with the enemy, you have more power than he has any time you contact. This is a principle you must learn. "And I give unto you power over the power of the enemy." That's what Jesus said. He said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Meaning the end of the age. That means up till now, he's still with us. Amen. And he said that no power that is in this world is more powerful than one of you. One of you. The least one. Now come on. You need to believe this, understand it, and live it. Yes, sir. We have seen some terrible, wonderful things happen in this life. How God deliver his people. And I know you have, we could sit down here and talk of cases on and on and on. I knew of a boy who had a testament in his pocket with the psalm. He was in a battle. He got shot right here. He rolled over. When he picked up himself and fell, he saw where the bullet entered, he pulled the thing out, and there the bullet was lodging on Psalm 91. He couldn't pass it. You better believe that happened in almost in every war I know that happened. I know it happened in 1914 war. I know this little fellow named MacDonald that it happened to write down in the Battle of the Bulge down in the Holland there. And I know it happened in the Vietnam War because I was here some time ago when a boy was giving his testimony of what happened to him down in Los Angeles here. So the truth is that the bullet couldn't pass Psalm 91. It's possible if he just had the psalm alone in his pocket, the bullet wouldn't pass it. Amen. God is more powerful than all the power you see around you. Yes. And this is what you must believe. It's possible for an atom bomb to drop right on top of this church and destroy the whole Los Angeles and nothing in here touched. Because there is nothing impossible for God. And you must never limit God. And you must know that this is where your strength lies. In the power of God to save. For Jesus means Savior. Not just to pull you out of sin, but to keep saving you until the day he presents you blameless. He's the preserver of life. He's the keeper of the body. He's the keeper of the soul. He's the health. Hallelujah. Let's go on a little. We see here, therefore, a natural story with a spiritual meaning. And the whole Bible is filled with it. But let's go on again to another word in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3. And a word that was given to a natural people with a spiritual meaning for us today. Amen. And in verse 14 and 15. Turn, O backsliding children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors. Pastors. I want you to see the word pastors. I'll say something about that afterwards. According to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Come on now. You see how the Lord gave a word to take the people out of the natural. People say, God said he'll feed me, therefore he'll give me food, the natural. Truly. But listen, God said he'll feed your understanding. Yes, he'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. Now, the word pastor is a word that means It has something to do with pasture. And a pasture is a place where animals feed, green grass. But then it also has something to do with the shepherd. For no sheep find his own pasture. You have sheep that does that? Do you have any sheep who finds his own pasture? No, the shepherd finds the pasture for the sheep. And this is why God has appointed you to pick up his sheep and to bring them to places where they can get food. Feed them with knowledge and understanding. Praise God. Now, let's go on. Turn to Jeremiah 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. If God's setting up a fold here, then you know why. If God's giving you prosperity in what you're doing, then you know why. Because God has some sheep and he's making a place, a pasture for his sheep. For he's not pleased with the shepherds that have been feeding the sheep. Hallelujah. That means you must never, never, never do like the other shepherds. Or else God won't be pleased with you either. If you find yourself doing something that they are doing, you better think twice over it and pray three times. Amen. Make sure that you are doing right. For they are not doing well. The pastors that have been appointed to feed the flock are not doing well. I don't want to dwell on that. It's too negative. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David. We know the meaning of David now. Unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. When you're giving your testimonies, oh, thank God I'm saved. Jesus saved me out of sin. Hallelujah. It's time you start saying something else. But the day the Lord liveth, which bringeth up and which led the seed. Hear me? The seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. I have driven them whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. What are we talking about? Yes. You are the seed, the living seed of Jesus Christ. You are the children, the seed of Jesus Christ. And you are now saying to God that he took you not out of Egypt, but out of the north country. What are we talking about? Yes, the cold church system, north, cold country, where the ground is frozen all day. where they have set hymns to sing, and where the Holy Ghost can't move. Hallelujah! Where there is no fire, no warmth, no sun. Amen. If the sun even shines, it's cold. Yeah. Where your water pipes get frozen, eh? Hallelujah. This is what God's talking about. This is my God that has delivered me from Babylon. From the Babylonian system, from the north country, and brought me into the southlands where the grass is green. Hallelujah. Where there are good pastures. You know, in my country, we have green grass all year. Everything is green all through the year. There's never a season that anything burns down. Hallelujah. The everlasting summer. Hallelujah. That reminds me of the everlasting summer that God is bringing us into. And God is making for himself a whole congregation of shepherds. Some people said, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. Therefore, I have no ministry. Wrong. Hallelujah. Come on now. This is my thumb. This thumb is the hand, the symbol of the apostle ministry. Amen. This finger, the symbol of the prophet ministry. God give you your body that you might learn from it. Look what happens when I move my tongue. Where did the movement come from? Say, okay. Tom says, I don't need you, the rest of the body. So he took a knife and cut this little string here. What happened next? The tongue dies, no move. That's it. You better believe that there's a ministry in the body that is causing that thumb to move. There's no apostle ministry without the apostle people behind the apostle ministry. There's no prophet that can prophesy to himself. There's going to have to be a body to make that prophet ministry a prophet ministry. And if God doesn't give you an ear to hear a prophet, woe be unto that prophet. Because he will be kicked out. He'll have nowhere to go. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying that every ministry in the body of Christ has people behind it. And the people behind the ministry are the functioning parts that make the ministry the ministry. So, We see in the Word of God, God is saying that God sends the life of Jesus Christ to the church through a ministry. And the ministry is not the minister. Come on now. A ministry is not the minister. A ministry is the, what word is that? No, a ministry. The minister is not the ministry. The minister is the vessel that contains the ministry. But the ministry is of God. It's a divine anointing that comes from the Father. In other words, the stone was the minister. But the ministry that sent the stone, hallelujah, amen, was the force that drove him into Goliath's forehead. Hallelujah. So you will see, amen, you're learning. You will see right here that for the ministry of Jesus Christ to be ministered in the earth, it needs ministers. And you are part of the new covenant, part of the ministry, part of the minister. Yes.
In other words, if a minister is going out doing things and he doesn't have anyone standing with him, behind him, it'll be fruitless.
Worse than that, he could have some people standing behind him and they don't stand with the body of Christ. You see, the last talk we had was the body. Now we're talking about the hands of the body. And the ministry is typed as the hands. But the hands can do nothing without the head. And the head can do nothing through the hands without the body. You see. So, therefore, we're talking about a body that is alive. A body that is moving. A body that is supporting a ministry. Hallelujah. You become a support to the ministry, not just here, but throughout the whole world. God will pick up a man and send him straight here.
God will take his servant and send him right here to you, because God knows that you will support him and you will supply the necessary means for him to go further on. Therefore, God works in the body and not just with the hand. There's no hand that can go forth in the nature of God without the support of the body. Each person in the body is a special ministry, is assigned, I should say, to a special ministry. God has ordained you for this ministry. Some of you say, what ministry is it? God hasn't shown me. And somehow we seem to misunderstand God, that when we ask this question, what ministry am I supposed to do? What part of the ministry am I belonging to? We are ignoring the fact that God has been using us in some ministry ever since we were born in God. In other words, you don't have to be a missionary going forth with the word. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a prophet, or you don't have to be apostle in order to be involved and to be a direct part of the apostle ministry, of the prophet ministry, of the evangelistic ministry. Now, God first works in the church to develop these ministries from the very bottom, by your laboring with other ministries, until you come forth in the fullness of the ministry that you have labored in. I'll give you a scripture to show you that each person is ordained to a ministry, even from the time he was called of God. I'll read from the Revised Version, Romans 8 and verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. We can see here God working himself through a people. The very things that God would do if he were here in your place are the very things that he's asking you to do. So when God says to a ministry, go to such and such a place, I say go without person script. He has also ordained those who are to work with such a ministry. And if those people refuse to work with that ministry, then God will have to call other people. And I've seen sometimes where extreme faith had to be exercised by the minister, because the people whom God had ordained had failed. And you ask me, but Brother Sill, how do you know that God ordained these people? If God didn't, if God had ordained them, they would have worked. But you see, they confess with their own mouth that God says so and so, and then they turn around and do the opposite. And if any of you who are listening to me are in that category, then you need to pray to God a prayer of repentance and let God use you again, because for this cause many lose their prosperity.
And the next picture I want to show you is that of the candlestick or lampstand. It is a beaten work of pure gold with seven lamps at the head, and the hollow stand is the container of the oil. The gold, a type of the Christ nature, the oil, a type of the Spirit, and the wick, a type of humanity. Without the wick, humanity, the lamp cannot give light. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." This is a very great responsibility. What he did not say, which is obvious, of course, is that the light of the world is burning and being consumed in order to produce this light or its function. But the Spirit or the oil, which saturates us, acts as a preservative and consequently slows the process of consumption. This one piece of furniture in the tabernacle has no wood, no humanity in it. This is the piece which is a type of the overshadowing. I want you to get this very clearly. This is the very principle on which some of the brethren are failing and falling down today. They are saying that in a spiritual sense, the man is the head of the woman. There's nothing wrong about saying that in a natural sense, but they are saying it in a spiritual sense, that man is the head of God's church. In the body of Christ, there is no other mediator between God and man except the man Christ Jesus. No other overshadowing but that of the Spirit. And if you are not in the body of Christ, you ought to be there. For in Romans 8 and 29, we just read that you are preordained and called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Do not let a man overshadow you. Let us read Isaiah 30 and verse 1. "Woe to the rebellious children, said the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my Spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Do not be overshadowed by me or by any personality. Such a position is a lie. You won't be getting what you bargained for. Let the Spirit of God be your overshadowing. Let me see if I can explain that a little more in detail. The anointing which you receive, that force to push you forward, like the stone from David's sling, that power which makes you do or not do, that motivation should never come from man. It should be from God. Your motivation should be from the Almighty God. In other words, if I have a program and say, come rally around me and let us do this or let us do that, unless God convinces you in your heart that this is what He wants you to do, then you should do exactly nothing. Nothing until you are motivated of the Lord or from within your own heart. The basic truth here is that the overshadowing or head of the body must be Jesus Christ. There must be no man at the head of that pyramid and you under him taking orders and being overshadowed by him. This we find this plainly explained in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. Let me read that chapter, that verse for you. Matthew 20 verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever, verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave. And this is the direct translation from the Greek. God has put a different principle in the church from that which is in the world. And so when the church turns around and begin to operate like the world, then they are wrong. We must not submit to this wrong operation. We must go back to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Of course, this does not mean that you do not obey them that are set over you in the Lord, in the Spirit. But this means that your obedience is not to the individual, to the personality, to his insistence, but to the Christ in your brother. If it is Christ outside, if it is the Christ outside speaking, that is in your brother, then there must be a contact and an agreement from within, from the Christ within, since you also have Christ. You are responsible for nothing else. No outside word, no thought, no preaching, no nothing from outside, until inside tells you to act. Then you become responsible. You do not obey against your will. You do not obey against your better nature. If I say we want to raise some money, let us have a program, you do not move against your own motivation from within. This is a sure point of guidance. Therefore, your overshadowing or your motivation awaits the word from God, a direct word from God from within your own heart. There is no order that God will give you from a human agent without this satisfaction inside of your own soul. We're going to read a scripture which gives us that meaning. It is Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. Here we are. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past
unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
We understand therefore that it is the Christ within that is our final commander. The mercy seat, which is the symbol of the overshadowing, has no humanity in it. It is made of pure gold and shows forth a Shekinah glory within, between the two cherubims, without any material burner or lamp or wick. Once I was having a seminar in a certain city and was teaching on the overshadowing of the mercy seat, and that two angels overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant, which is humanity and divinity functioning in its final and perfect form. And I said that the overshadowing causes a pregnancy in the Ark, a factor in the Ark which was not put there by humanity. And I said this is a symbol exactly of Mary being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, she being the type of the Ark of the Covenant bringing forth Jesus Christ, the beginning of the creation of God, a new life form in the earth. I did not know that one of the men in the audience was a priest. At this point, he could not contain himself. He jumped to his feet and cried out praises to God. He explained afterwards that for so many years in the church, which until that moment, he did not know why the altar was called Mary. Praise the Lord. Do not allow yourselves to be preached to by persons out of the anointing and out of the Spirit. Let us read 1 Peter 4:11. Let's see if we can find that. 1 Peter 4:11. I'll just quote it here. It says, if any man minister, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, he must be speaking for God. If anyone sings, let it be in the Spirit. Do not go to listen to a lot of singing which just appeals to the soul or sent to the senses and not of much spiritual value. Three quarters of the church singing today, and I believe I'm very generous in saying this, three quarters of the church singing today falls into the category of being soulish. It is either dead and meaningless or lively and sensual. We see therefore that every ministering person, every ministry in the church, whether it be prophecy, tongues, healing, exhortations, whatever, must be from the head, Jesus Christ. Through you, the church, Christ stretches out his mighty hand over the earth, over our cities, over our farms, wherever the children of God are. Each morning, as you go out to work and as he pulls it back in the evenings, it is a day's work well done and another day of restraining and frustrating the forces of evil. In conclusion, let me say that whereas in the past We thought and have been teaching that the hand is a fivefold ministry, the apostle, the thumb, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, that this is the ministry. And some people look towards them and feel that if I don't minister in one of these ministries, I haven't got a ministry. Let us correct this error. It is not so. The whole body is a ministering body, and the hand is connected by joints and sinews and blood and nerves to the whole body, and the whole body must function in order that the hand may be function. And the stronger the body is, it is the stronger the hand is. It is not the hand that is strong that makes a strong body, but it is the body that is strong that makes a strong hand. So God bless you, and I pray that this word may be some blessing to you, and you look with greater importance to the ministry which God has given you. I will repeat, there are people, some of you listening to these tapes, who God has anointed as helps to the apostles. Be not afraid. You have been appointed to help the apostolic ministry. You must pray for them. You must let God lead you and guide you in helping and sending forth those ministries. There are others who are behind the prophet ministries. There are others behind all the fivefold ministries as God has given you. There are some of you, especially among the women, who are being anointed with teaching. And God is saying to you that you must get very diligent with what He's given you, because the basic part of the church, the strength of the church, is the youth. And these people do, the young people from the children coming up, do escape some of the big preaching. Sometimes they are not even involved with the body as they ought to be, but God is speaking to some of the sisters about getting a hold of those kids, getting a hold of the young ones, and bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of God. God bless you. This represents the milk from the church, and the church must have breasts, and the church must have milk, or else we are going to lose the cream of the crop that God. This is the crop that God promised us in the time of harvest, and the hour is now. God bless you in Jesus' name.